Winning Connections, we are launching throughout June and July a kind of a new initiative or a new season. And it's all about winning people who don't know Jesus and bringing them into a relationship with the one who made them, the one who died for them, and the one who offers them forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And to bring them into this vital connection. And we used at the beginning of the year the illustration of this 3 points, like a plug. If you as a believer are plugged into God and plugged into church, the third point is that we need to be plugging into people that don't know Jesus yet. I was once someone who didn't know Jesus. You might be fully convinced that I've known him since the beginning, but every single one of us has to come to a personal choice and a knowledge of who Jesus is and what he has done for us before we can make the decision personally to become a believer and follower of Jesus. And I am so grateful for people who knew Jesus and knew how to connect me with him, who began to communicate and be a witness or be showing Jesus as who he really is to me, so that I could have an opportunity to get to know the most amazing person, the most amazing love, the most amazing acceptance, and the most amazing purpose there is to be found in life through knowing Jesus. And so I'm sure you today can sit there grateful for someone who communicated Jesus to you. And that means we all are here today because someone said something. Someone showed us something. And they made a winning connection with us. But it's time for us to actually take on the baton, if you like, to run our race, so that we can do for others what others did for us. And actually share what the gospel, the good news, that's what the gospel means. It means the good news about Jesus Christ. Every other religion, particularly the ones that is probably the most reported in the news currently, is working its way to please God. It's all deception, but they're rooted, a lot of these religions, in hate. Hatred for self and hatred for others. And God, the true God, is love. And Jesus actually came and expressed who the real, true, living God is in everything he said and everything he did. And so we have a message that is more powerful than hate, because love is stronger than hate. Love always wins. Love always wins. And that is why we all can memorize John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes, whoever, doesn't matter who you are, what your background is, whatever you've done, whoever believes will not perish, but have eternal life. God so loved the world. And we know, don't we, as believers, that Jesus asks all of us, every single one of us, to go into all the world and preach the good news. Every single follower is to be a goer. A go and tell, a go and speak. That word preach means to proclaim. So it means to tell people the good news, the message about Jesus Christ. So each one of us is responsible. Each one of us has been handed the baton to run with. If we're in a relay race, it's our time. But some of us get discouraged and drop that little baton. Or we hold it and say, it's not for me, and we put it behind our backs. And often when it comes to our connecting with people to win them to Christ, we feel threatened, lacking in confidence. We don't think we know enough. We don't know how. And we can actually doubt very much our ability to win people because it hasn't worked so well in other situations. Which is why we are so excited about the month of June leading into the month of July. You know, it's progressive. The one follows the other. Because June is going to be every Sunday and every Wednesday night we have a man visiting who's an evangelist who will train us as a church. Wednesday nights is going to be a time of training on how to win someone to Jesus. And so this month is an equipping, but we want so much more than that. We want God to do something in each one of our hearts and to kind of give us all that we need so that we can be effective in communicating how great and wonderful Jesus is. That's it. And so that's the plan. And then in July, every Sunday is going to be a testimony Sunday. We've got a missionary from Mongolia coming to speak the beginning of July about God working with street children, children that have been rescued off the streets. And then for 2 Sundays, we're going to have personal testimonies from people who really have got a story to tell about how Jesus has changed their lives. And then at the end of the month, we have a man who came to Christ as he was a Muslim in Iran, and somebody spent a whole year communicating Jesus to him. And he's got such an amazing story, and so has his wife, who was a missionary for many years in Malawi. And they're coming at the end of July, just before Faith Camp. So we are saying to you, every Sunday is a Sunday to bring somebody in July. They're going to hear stories about how Jesus changes lives. And what I love about the last Sunday with this guy who was converted to Christ from Islam, he actually is the answer to a lot of issues and questions you might have in your mind about that faith. And he will come and answer some of those questions. But he'll also tell about the power of the good news to save him and to bring him into someone who is now preaching the gospel back in Iran via radio. He has seen how many members of his family saved? 16. And they have to leave Iran to come and meet in another nation because you're not allowed. You will be persecuted for your faith. So we have an amazing July opportunity set up. But we've also got connect groups organizing events. And we want to see each one of us respond to the call to carry the baton to somebody else with faith. Whether we do it in twos or threes or as whole connect groups, we're going to be organizing barbecues and events all the way through July. So that's exciting. It's exciting because we are actually here to make sure this connection is working so that we can see people come into relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, let's just begin this kind of new season in Romans chapter 10. And we're going to read a few scriptures here that Paul wrote concerning the good news about Jesus. We're going to begin in verse 12. Actually, we probably should begin at verse 11. Let's try 11. I could back up to Genesis Depends, but you haven't got that much time. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him, that's Jesus, will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew or Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Paul says here something that we all probably know. Unless you are told about Jesus, you don't have a chance to believe. But when you hear about him, then you have an opportunity to believe. And I think it's really interesting that Paul says we need someone who preaches. Now, Paul is not speaking about people just like me who stand up in front of churches, those who are called by God to pastor, to teach, to preach. He's not just talking about me. He's talking about every member of the church. We're all to be preachers. Tell somebody next to you, I didn't know you were a preacher. But a preacher means someone who speaks, someone who proclaims, just tells people the good news. And the truth is, you know people I don't know. You meet people I will never meet. Or even the person next to you won't meet. And so we all have opportunities all the way around our lives to preach. Everywhere we live, everywhere we work, wherever we go, our interests, the things that we do, we have people around us to tell about Jesus. And so Paul says the only way they're going to come to faith isn't with the Bible. Now, I believe in the Word of God. They need to hear the Word of God, but they need to be told the Word through somebody. And so it's time, actually, to understand that God is wanting his church mobilized, moving, to tell people about Jesus. Because unless we go, we drop the baton and we don't run our race, because this is the only time we have to run. Now is the time of salvation, scripture says. Today is the day. And so now is our time to take the gospel, the good news, to the people around us. There aren't going to be another crowd for this time. It's us. And so each of us has responsibility to connect with people in the world. But Paul doesn't start this discourse in Romans 10 just by telling us we need to go and preach. He starts in verse 1 of chapter 10. Well, he starts way before, but for today we're going to look at verse 1 of chapter 10. And here he says something really important. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire. He doesn't say this like, brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and my prayer is that Israel will be saved. You know when something is a desire in you and it's something that actually you can't stop speaking about, you don't talk about it as if you're bored. It carries a passion. And he says, it's my heart. My desire is that my own people will be saved. The Israelites will be saved. He doesn't say it's just my heart. He says my heart and my prayer to God. So whatever is in my heart, Paul is saying, is what I'm praying about. I'm praying, and it's a big prayer, that the nation will be saved. That's a big heart right there. Paul's got a great big heart. Because he's saying, I want everyone saved. Now, we know that's what God wants. People get to choose, but God is not willing that any person perish, but all come to know the truth. So Paul is actually praying the will of God. I want everyone saved. Could we stand today and say, Lord, we want this nation, every single person in it, saved. My heart's desire and my prayer is that all will be saved. So it's a passionate cry from the heart. So Paul doesn't start with going and preaching. He starts with the heart. He starts with his passion, zeal for the will of God, but love for lost people. And there is someone living inside every believer who has a love for lost people. And that person is Jesus. Jesus lives in every single believer. And that means that his love in you is desiring that not one perish, not one goes to hell, not one spends eternity lost and in darkness and torment. That is the heart of God. And he is saying, I am in you with this heart. I want to stir up a passion in every one of you so that your heart's desire is that not one will perish, but all will be saved. Passion is seen in football. It's seen in music. It's seen everywhere. But the greatest passion should be seen in me. Because I have received eternal life. I am no longer going to hell. I'm passionate about Jesus, I'm passionate about him. You see, your prayers are often linked to the things you desire, aren't they? I want a new car, new house, new clothes. We need new business opportunities. We need this. I'm passionate about my kids, about what God's plan is for them. I'm passionate. And those things are good. It's not that God doesn't want to answer those things, because he's a good God. But he wants us also to make room in our hearts and prayer for those people who don't know Jesus. And there's room enough in your heart for this. There's room for people in your heart. People that aren't just part of your family. God wants all your family saved, yes. But it's a bit broader than that. In fact, he wants the whole world saved. He came not just for the Europeans or the British. He didn't just come for the Americans or the Middle Easterns. He didn't just come for India. He came for the whole world. He died for everyone. And so Jesus' heart is for everyone. And that means because he lives in us, we can have a heart because his love is in us. He gives us the love that actually never fails in winning people to Christ. Paul says, I want to seek the welfare of other people who don't know Jesus yet. And it always leads to action, not just prayer. We've got to start with prayer, because before we talk to people, we better talk to God about people. Prayer changes everything. Prayer opens people's hearts to God. Prayer brings about an understanding that actually I'm starting to get quite interested about the Christian faith. And so prayer begins the work of God in every person that you pray for. I have recently heard two testimonies from people closest to me about family members who were atheists changing and starting to talk about faith and Christian things. That's a miracle. The anti are becoming the interested. Prayer does that. Prayer changes the anti to the interested. Isn't that brilliant? But Paul says it doesn't stop there, does he? We've got to go and speak. How can they believe unless they hear? So that's the other side. And throughout June, you're going to know exactly what needs to be said so that someone can get saved. But let's look at a guy who had this kind of enthusiasm to tell someone else about Jesus. Let's look in John's Gospel. John chapter 1. How are we doing? Work in us, Lord. And if you don't know Jesus here, I want to tell you how passionate he is about you. And his love for you is just beyond anything you will ever experience. In John chapter 1, let's just read this, verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, and finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law, the one whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Love Nathanael's answer. "Nazareth? Can anything good come out of there?" I love that. You're joking. Can anything good come out of Christianity? People say. Can anything good come out of this place? No. Philip said, "Come and see." Say, "Come and see." Come and see. So obviously they went. Because when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there's no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael said. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You're going to see even greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." That meant him, Jesus. Philip is what I would say an unschooled follower of Jesus Christ. Okay, so he's fairly new to the things of faith. He's just come to believe. He's met Jesus personally, or rather Jesus revealed himself to him. And as a new believer, he didn't really know much theology. He wasn't that well versed in many things. But the thing that he knew was that he had met Jesus, and that Jesus had completely changed his life. Jesus had completely changed his life. And so, after meeting Jesus, his first thought was, "What about Nathanael? I don't want him to miss out." That's all that was. He's my mate. He's my friend. We talk about football. I don't know if they played football there. Don't know what they played. Falafel competitions. sandal throwing. Any more takers? garment twirling. I don't know. But they talked about it. They talked about life. They talked about family. They talked about kids. They talked about faith, their religion. They talked about the Jewish faith. And Nathaniel actually was probably quite a deep thinker. He probably knew the Old Testament. And so when this very excited tigger of a personality called, well, he probably wasn't excited before, actually. I think Jesus changed his personality because he changed mine. You can't hide behind a personality once you're saved, that's it. And Jesus, I mean, God uses everyone, but he wants you to break out of not speaking. And so this tigger, excited Philip arrives and says, Nathaniel, guess what? We found him. The Messiah, he's here. I met him. And he had what Paul had. My heart's desire is that, first of all, who do I know? That was his first thought. Who do I already know to tell about Jesus? Not who I don't know. Who can I go to and say, I've met Jesus and he's changed everything? And so Philip actually did what we can all do. Because we have love and welfare of our friends on our hearts. We want to do them good. Whether they're friends that we meet at work, you want to do them good, don't you? Your neighbours, the people when you're picking up your kids from school, you want to do them good. The people you do sport with, the people that you have hobbies with, you want to do them good. And this friendship connection was the way that Philip kind of thought, hang on a minute, I have met the best person in the world. There is no one like Jesus. I am going to tell my mate. It's as simple as that. He didn't just pray for an angel to visit. He didn't pray for somebody else to go. He says, Nathaniel, mate. And because they were friends, friends listen to friends, don't they? I mean, to be honest, on a Sunday afternoon, if somebody knocks on my door and says, a stranger says, I want to talk to you, I'd be like, not sure. I'm on the sofa. I'm just sitting down with a cup of tea. Not really that open to that kind of conversation, are you? Some people are, but I'm like, because usually I think it's somebody else coming to persuade me of something I don't want. But friends, talk to friends. Why? Because you've already talked about the kids. You've already talked about rugby, football. You've talked about menus, food, cooking, I don't know, clothes. You've talked. And because you've met Jesus, you want them to. That's it. And I know this isn't rocket science, but it is a world changer. Just reaching the people you know has power to change the world. And having the nation in your heart only gets outworked when you have the one connection. One by one, we win people to Jesus Christ. When he gets there, he could have been put off. Nathaniel saying, can anything good come out of that Christian faith? It's a load of rubbish. I mean, we do look a bit unusual, do we not? We are enthusiastic in our praise and worship. Can't help it. He's better than football. He's better than anything. I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. I can't help it. And so we might look different because you've never put celebration in the context of church. You've put it in the context of sport. But this is celebration. When we come together to praise God, it's a celebration of who Jesus is. It's putting the spotlight on the one. We celebrate. And I would say that Philip's enthusiasm was contagious. And can I just say this? Enthusiasm will actually impact people. And I know I've used this example before, but once when we first, you know, Pastor Andrea, when she first met David, it was love, love, love. And it was this, the other way around too. So they both looked at each other and went, ooh. It was one of them. And I happened to be there. She was looking for a mirror for her bathroom. And the first time I met this man here, he began to talk to me about bathrooms. Well, to be honest, I'm not really interested in a bathroom. I can honestly say, as long as it has a loo, a sink, and a decent enough shower, or I prefer a shower to a bath, I'm fine. But when I talked to him, his enthusiasm began to wake me up to bathrooms. I thought bathrooms were shh, 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 like some people think Christianity is. Shh, 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 that's it. It's a box that you just, it's there. But his enthusiasm began to unpack that box. And I began to look into that box going, ooh. I mean, he's interesting about water pressure in a bathroom. He's interesting about design. He's one of the country's top designers. And so you'll talk to him and you'll get design all the way. You'll be like, oh my goodness, that one, that one, that one. Of course, I haven't got that one, which is the money side of it, but I can enjoy what comes out of the box. And now I can walk into a bath, every bathroom I go in, so don't invite me around. I'll be like, ooh, because it opens up a whole new world. And did you know that you can open a whole new world to somebody about Jesus? You can unpack a box that they thought was this, and now it's this. And that's what Philip did, enthusiasm, unboxed it. And it made it, he didn't know very much. In fact, he called Jesus the son of Joseph. Well, we know he was the son of God. Joseph had nothing to do with him being born. And yet, the mistakes of someone enthusiastic will be overlooked because of zeal or passion. So don't make excuses because of what you don't know. Just be excited about Jesus. And I know I stand up here doing all of this because I think the world needs us to do that. Imagine Philip sliding in. All right, mate. Another difficult week at work. But I went on a bike ride. Which is fine. But the bike ride has got to lead to Jesus. Your working life has to go beyond your working life. Your conversation. You're in connection for a purpose, and that is to get them to Jesus. Now, Philip didn't have all the answers, and I absolutely love this, because you can be lacking in confidence because you don't know what to say when you're asked the questions. Has anybody been in that situation? You just don't know what to say. And you know it's easily solved. Come and see. I want you to meet him. Isn't that brilliant? Can you say, come and see? I think that's something we can all say. Come and see. He didn't say, go. Let me direct you. Second on the right, left at the traffic lights, and you will go into a building. He said, no. Come on, mate. We're going. And that's what I think, this is what the winning connection is. Come on, mate, let's go and meet Jesus together. Let me bring you to a meeting in our church. And don't be put off, they're a very enthusiastic lot. Let me take you to my mate's house for a barbie. Let's meet for a coffee. And I don't know if you're interested, we can go through Life Worth Living course, just over coffee. Let me just unpack Jesus. Or let somebody else do it. But at least I'll be the one who's bringing you. Isn't that all that Philip did? And he wasn't, you know how sometimes your fire can be put out when somebody says, can anything good come out of that? You know, the Christian faith, all they do is fight. Do you know what one of the arguments of the day is? Well, you know, it's an issue-led thing. Well, what about? It's always what about? And your enthusiasm has to go further than just answering questions. You have to say, just come and see. If you meet the real Jesus, you will find that he's nothing like the things you've heard. Enthusiasm. Heart's desire. My heart's desire and prayer to God is that they will be saved. And Philip, bringing him to Jesus, Jesus had already seen this happening. What I love about this is Philip is a new believer. He didn't know he was being led by the Spirit. But actually, God had ordained that relationship. That friendship was in place so that he could come to Christ. All the friendships you have are in place so they can come to know Jesus Christ. And, you know, Nathanael walked up to Jesus. Jesus speaks to him. And I love that. By saying, coming and seeing, it gives an opportunity for Jesus to start to speak into the heart of some person. That's all. He starts to speak. And straight away, Nathanael believes. I mean, he's like, straight away, you're the Son of God, I believe. He became a believer because of Philip saying, come and see. Because Philip was enthusiastic about Jesus. That's worth more than 25 discussions on the gay issue. On why religion seems to always be the problem. Jesus is the answer. He's the answer for every issue. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There are only two kinds of people. Saved, unsaved. Right with God, not right with God. Saints, sinners. Not adulterers, homosexual, Muslims. Only two kinds of people in the whole world. That's the biblical view. doesn't separate everybody out to they're like that, they're worse than that, they are terrible, they are whatever, I can't deal with that. Just two kinds. Those who have Jesus and have received him as Savior and Lord, and those who haven't. Okay? Simple. Come and see. Come and see. Come with me. Come. And I feel so much that there is an easy way that the Spirit is communicating this beginning to us. That you have in your heart people already. You want to come to Christ. Do you not? You already have friends that don't yet know Jesus. Colleagues. People you pick the kids up from school around. You know people in Fly or through Habitat, some of our projects. You know people. They're in your heart. First of all, let's talk to God. Lord, open them. And secondly, let our enthusiasm be infectious. Amen. And don't let anything put out the fire of who Jesus is to you. Faith was never supposed to be a private thing, which is why Jesus said, go into all the world. He didn't say, keep it to yourself. Just have meetings with me. He said, go. Get out. But have them in your heart, love them, and pray for them. Philip made mistakes, and so have we. Have you made a mistake talking to somebody about Jesus? I think over the next month, you'll get a lot of answers and a lot of clarity on how to win people to Christ. I believe that with all of my heart. But you'll never feel like you've got it all together. But I believe zeal will move people to come and find out about Jesus. So let them see how excited you are about being saved. Let everybody see you're excited. And finally, I reckon Jesus would have said to Philip later, well done, mate. Good job. You did what I'm here for. I'm here to reach people. Well done. He saved because you said, come and see. That's it. And I want to hear the well done's from Jesus, don't you? Because I am connecting people with him. We need help, do we not? Then we need the Holy Spirit to make us more infectious this week. Yes. We're going to pray for that. Help us, Lord, that our faith will be contagious with our friends. But we also, I think, it would be good for us to have three people in our hearts, just three, to start. People we already know that we are willing to pray for this next month, every day. Three people. Can you do that? If you want to embrace more than that, go ahead. If you want to say two, that's fine. But I think, actually, if you think of three people and say, Lord, these are my friends now. I know them now. It is my heart's desire they'll be saved. I'm going to pray for them every day. But I'm also going to ask you for an opportunity to say, come and see. Yeah? But we're also going to just ask the Lord first and pray for each other, that we would be enthusiastic about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit has been given to the church so that we would have power to witness, hasn't he? So let's stand. And let's get into twos, threes. You maybe want to get into fours, I don't know. And just pray that you would be like Philip, contagious. And pray, ask the Holy Spirit to help the person you're praying for that contagious faith.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.